Let me just say this. As I was preparing for this message and started thinking about different ways to illustrate what I wanted to talk about today, I was so encouraged by not just this man, but several folks that most of society has just discounted and what they've done. There was a lady that she was 102 years old, and she had the world record for her age group, which was 80 and over in the 60-yard dash. She also had the world record when she was 100 in the 100-yard dash. In fact, her coach made this comment. He said, when she said she wanted to me to time her, she started running. I wasn't expecting that. It's inspiring to see people who go against the odds, who go against what society kind of tells us is the norm. I love what he says, society has stamped us with an expiration date. Shame on society. Today, if you have your Bibles or you use YouVersion, Joshua chapter 14 is where we're going to start. We'll talk more about the video here in a bit. We're going to look at a man who made a decision 45 years earlier than the point we're going to look at today. His decision changed his life. It changed his destination. It changed the life of his family and the destination of his family. And what I want you to understand today, we live in a negative world, and the decisions that we make today will impact us for all eternity. The decisions we make today will impact our family. The decisions we make today will impact our destination. The decisions we make today will impact us for 45 years to come, just like they did Caleb. The way that we look at life in our time today impacts our decisions. And what you don't understand, we live in a negative world, but that shouldn't impact who we are and what we do. It's just the circumstances of our life. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, it says this, Caleb speaking. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I went in and I brought back him a report according to my convictions. What are your convictions today? You see, your choices are based on your convictions. And so he brought back a report based on his convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. You see, there are other people around us that will say all kinds of negative things, and they'll cause people to fear. In fact, how many of us know that you just turn the news off? Because all's their job right now is to cause our hearts to melt in fear, but we serve a God bigger than any news media. And I'm not against the news. I'm just saying we need to understand a lot of what they're doing is just trying to melt our hearts with fear, but we serve a bigger God, and we need to focus on that. So on that day, Moses swore to me, let me back up. I, however, follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly, and so should you. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. He continues, he says, now then, just as the Lord promised me, he has kept me alive for 45 years. 45 years earlier, God told him he'd take that land. 45 years later, he's still alive. And since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in wilderness, and so here I am today, 85 years old. I want to start a revolution. I wonder if Charles on the video has read Caleb. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out in battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. For you yourself heard that the giants, the Anakites, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Now, I want you to understand, he's 85 years old. What are we thinking about when we're 85? Anybody 55 and above? How many are thinking about retirement? You see, that's our culture. We think about, hey, when will life slow down? When can I retire? When can I set back? When? And Caleb is like, no, there's more for me to accomplish. There's a battle raging inside of me, and I want to go fight that battle for God. You see, Caleb had a different spirit in him. He had a spirit that said, God is working, and as long as I have breath, I'll be working with him. Charles, at 85 years old, I love Charles because he was very honest in the video. I'm vain. I'm very vain. You can tell I don't care what I look like, and I don't care what you think about it. I could be in better shape, and I know I should be in better shape. But at least Charles was honest. I'm 85, and my body's failing me. Well, yeah, you're 85. But I'm not going to sit by and watch and die. I'm going to continue working. And so at 85, he starts lifting weights. How many young people lift weights? Is that something you want to start at 85? I mean, when you first start lifting weights, that first couple of days, you hurt in places you didn't know you had. Can you imagine what it would be like at 85 to start lifting weights? I can't imagine it. And at 95, he started sprinting. Run like the wind. Sorry. But I mean, think about that. A lot of people in their 80s do good to walk. I'm not picking on them. My father-in-law is now living with us. He is 85 years old. When he came back in March to live with for a little while, I asked him, I said, "Hey, Dad, I said, if you could do anything, what would you want to do?" I'm thinking travel the world. I'm thinking see things in places that he hadn't had a chance to see. No, you know what he says? "I want to go to work." 84 at that time, "I want to go to work." I said, "Dad, anything you could do, I want to go to work." You know what he was saying? "I want to have a purpose. I'm not done. I'm still here breathing. I want to have a purpose." At 72, he was working for Boeing. It used to be McDonnell Douglas. But he was working for Boeing. At 72, they forced him to retire. I'm thinking, at 72, you probably ought to think about retiring. At 72, he sent out 40, I think it was about 40 resumes. He got hired by a company in Turkey because they had bought the F-4 from us. He was one of the original designers on the F-4, to kind of give you an idea how old he is. At 72, he gets hired by a company in Turkey. And, you know, we live in an environment where once you get a certain age, you're worthless. Our government found it in their heart to tell him no on a work visa because he was too old. But what are we telling people? All he wants to do is be a productive part of society. He wanted to work, and he'd work today if he's given the opportunity. You know, Caleb is in that realm. Caleb is saying, there's still more for me to do, and I want to do it. How many of you know that sometimes you suffer because of somebody else's decisions, like Dad suffered because they wouldn't give him a work visa? How many of you know that you suffer because of the choices and the consequences of the choices that somebody else has made? Well, we all do if you live through 2020. How many decisions were made for you in 2020 that brought you consequences beyond your control? Yeah, all of us did. Right? Good, better, and different. We all suffered because somebody else thought that they knew better than we did. We might have had a better plan, but they had the ability to make the choice, and we suffered because of their poor choices. And so we're all used to that. But, you know, this is Caleb's story. He's going to suffer because of consequences of somebody else's choices. Even though he makes a good choice, they make a poor choice, and he is going to pay the price. Here's what I want you to grab first is the majority may rule, but it doesn't determine your actions. The majority may rule, but it doesn't determine your actions. You know, Caleb might say it this way: I had a plan, but then life happened. My plan was to go do what God called us to do, but life happened. The majority ruled, and I've been wandering around in a desert for 45 years because of their stupid choice. You ever feel like that sometimes? Somebody else made a choice, and you're suffering the consequences? So if you don't know the story, back in Numbers, Moses has come into Egypt, and he's trying to free the people of Israel, God's people, and he begins to do some amazing things through God. You know, God says, "Hey, I want to show you guys all of my power and all of my glory." You know, sometimes no matter what you do for somebody, they still complain. Anybody with me? You know, you needed a car, so somebody gave you a car. Well, it's not the car I wanted. Not the car I would have bought. This isn't what I chose to do. No matter what you do, sometimes people complain. So here's God. The people cry out, we want to be set free. We don't want to be in Egypt anymore. We don't want to be slaves anymore. And so God comes along and says, "All right, I'm going to set you free. But as I set you free, I'm going to show you my power daily." And so God brings 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. And do you care to guess what the people of Israel did with every plague? They complained to God. It was so much easier before you showed up on the screen scene. If you'd have just left us alone, we'd have been slaves in Egypt until we died. But now you got to come on the scene to make things harder for us. What were they asking? They set us free. You know how many times we complain because it's not how we would want to do it? It's not exactly the plan that I would have. And so with every plague, the people complain. And so finally, Pharaoh lets them go, and they set out. Now, I want you to understand, it's hard for us to grasp this. We have GPS, right? So they had GPS. It was a pillar of cloud by day. It was God's presence with them, and it would go before them, and they would follow the cloud. Every day, they saw God in a pillar of cloud. You know what they did? Complained. They complained. Every night, you know what they saw? A pillar of fire. God's presence with them, protecting them through the night. You know what they did? Complained. They moaned. Over and over, if you read Exodus and Numbers, you'll see this phrase. If you would have just left us in Egypt, just left, you brought us out here to die. If you'd have just left, just because it's not the way that you want it, it doesn't mean that God's not working. But you're always going to encounter people that are just complaining. Now, here's a point. If God couldn't stop them from complaining, what makes you think you can? How much of your day is spent trying to please somebody else? How much of your day is spent trying to make somebody else happy? How much of your day is spent trying to make a complainer see God's power? If God couldn't do it with the nation of Israel, a million people, why do you think you can? At some point, you're going to have to step back and make your own choice to follow God, regardless of what the majority does. Regardless of what the majority does. That's what Caleb does. Caleb saw the prize. Caleb saw what was coming. In Joshua chapter 14, it says this, I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I followed God my whole heart. Here's the difference. I think Caleb got up every morning and he said, you know, I wonder what God's going to do today. You see, he was a slave in Egypt. Moses comes on the scene. Moses starts doing some amazing things by the power of God. And I think Caleb got up and go, you know what? God was pretty awesome yesterday. I wonder how he's going to top that today. I wonder what God's going to do today. I wonder if we're going to see God's power today. And so then they leave Egypt, right? And I think Caleb got up every morning and he's like, man, look at God in front of us. You see, God's our GPS. He's guiding the way. God is doing something that no other God can do. So he must be the God. And all along, what he's doing is growing his faith. You see, every time we choose to follow God and watch what he's doing, it grows our faith in him. You know, when the sun went down and that pillar of fire showed up at night, I think Caleb looked out there and he said, there's God. He hasn't left us yet. God's still there. And they wound through the desert and went different places, and they come up to the Red Sea, and everybody's screaming and hollering, the Egyptians are chasing us, we're all going to die. I think Caleb said, you know, God's got a plan. Why? Because he had been watching what God was doing for the last few months. He's been tracking with God, and his faith is growing. And he didn't know how God was going to do it, but I think he knew God was going to save him. And then the sea opens, and they walk through on dry ground. They get on the other side, and he sees the sea close up and drown all the Egyptian army. And I think Caleb thought this, man, God's a great God. I think I'll follow him. I think I'll trust him. You see, he lived in the midst of a negative world. Can you imagine being one or two people in the midst of a million people that have nothing good to say? That's the life that Caleb was living. And I think he got up every day and he looked and he planned and he wanted to see what God was doing. So when it came to time to spy out the land, he looked at it and he said, this is the promised land, that his faith in God was so strong because he got up every day and saw God's presence. You see, Caleb's faith never faltered, but his circumstances tubed. No fault is. How many had plans for 2020? How many had great plans for 2020? How many of them actually succeeded in those plans? Right, this is one of the things that we work on here. So we had an entire sermon series laid out for the entire year of 2020. We get to February. We get to March, and ain't none of you come to church. And those series don't translate to that camera. So you know what we had to do? We had to see what God was doing and change directions. We had to trust God. We had to see what God was doing. You see, we have some great plans, but sometimes things just happen that we have to realize that the plan might be the same, but we're going to have to go about it in a different way. Caleb's faith never faltered, but his circumstances did. You see, when you detach yourself from the negative, you'll always find a different spirit. I love what Pastor Steve says, with every problem becomes possibilities. With every problem becomes a new possibility, or a lot of possibilities. See, a lot of us look at a problem and think we're defeated instead of what the potential is out there. I loved church planting. Church planters had no money, but we had a lot of creativity. When you got no money, you got to be creative. And you look around this building, you're going to find a lot of things from our time as a church plant where we didn't have any money and we had to be creative. Like I don't want you to do this now, but just look around at the holes in the ceilings. There's a lot of holes up there from things that we hung up there before because we had no money. We had to be creative. And when you're following what God wants you to do, you're going to be creative in understanding how he's going to accomplish it. Everybody's looking up at the ceiling. You can't see them. The lights are on. But we had to hang projectors without mounts. We had to hang lights without the proper structures. They were not going to fall, trust me. Nothing is going to bring some of those down. But, you know, you have to stay focused no matter what happens. God would say this about Caleb. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. You see, in the midst of a negative place, his faith had grown to such a point that when they went into the land and they saw how good it was, he saw all the giants. The others came back and said, we can't take the land because they're too big. Caleb went in and said, we can take the land because our God is bigger. Is your God big enough to defeat anything in your life? I hope so. And if he's not, maybe we need to back up and take a different perspective. So I'm going to talk a little bit about myself for just a second. I grew up without a father, but my father had a major impact in my life. I did not meet my dad until I was in the Air Force. I was probably in my mid-30s at that time. Just happened to be close enough to Arizona that I could go see him. But the impact that my father had on me was in my DNA. And you say, wait, what are you talking about? Well, my dad was an alcoholic. My brother went to live with him when he was 16, so that would put me about 10 or 11. And my brother came back because my dad was an alcoholic, and they went to Arkansas, and on the journey, they picked up several cases of moonshine. I don't remember exactly how many it was, but my brother told me that my dad consumed all but 4 cases of the moonshine on the drive back to Arizona. Now, how did that impact me? When I was 16, still in high school, I got a job at a gas station, worked nights. I could drink a fifth of rum or a fifth of bourbon or a fifth of whatever while I was working, check out in the morning, do all my paperwork, drive myself to the bank, deposit the money, drive home, and go to bed. You see, a decision that my dad made, even though he had no physical contact with me, impacted my life. Why is that? How's that possible? Well, because his dad was an alcoholic, and his dad's dad was an alcoholic, and I believe his dad's dad was an alcoholic. We don't know, but somewhere along the line, that alcoholism became a part of our DNA. So my kids have a high tolerance for alcohol, but I quit drinking before they were ever born. And I'm trying to teach them now, hey, you got a high tolerance for alcohol because it's in our DNA, and we need to stop. Because I don't want my great-grandkids having that in their DNA. So a choice that I make today, I'm hoping will impact the generations to come. Now, that's a very specific thing. But what choices are you making today that are going to impact generations to come? Because we all have giants in our life that we need to defeat. We've all seen God work in our life if we'll just slow down long enough to look and see where he's working. Maybe you're going to have to look backwards in your life to see where he's working so you understand how he's working in your life today so you can make choices today that will impact you for 45 years to come. and that your future generations will take the land, the destination that God has for you, no matter what life throws at you. And so you should have a different spirit in your life. How many of you know that negativity breeds negativity? Negativity breeds turmoil. Negativity breeds frustration. You know, negativity spreads. I wanted to say this, and I said it in the first one, so I might as well say it here. You know, negativity spreads as fast as a wildfire in California on a windy day. Think about that. How fast do wildfires spread on a windy day? So you think about 1 million people, and they're talking to Moses. There's 12 of them around Moses, and the 10 of them are saying, hey, we can't do this, and that spreads through the camp. That spreads through what God's doing, and it's interesting. I love sarcasm, and so I put this. How many know who Jeff Dunham is? I love his little puppet with the skeleton. You know who I'm talking about? Yes, I knew his name. But I wanted to make sure you knew his name. But in Numbers chapter 30, the rumors have now spread through 1 million people, and they're complaining that, hey, we can't take this. And if you read Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, they actually wanted to stone these guys. They wanted to kill these guys. But in Numbers 13:30, Caleb says this, silence. What follows? I kill you. No. And he says this, we should go and we should take possession of the land. We should go. We should take possession of the land. And why is that? Because I think Caleb has been preparing for this his entire life as he walked with Jesus, as he walked with God. You see, he saw all the miracles. He saw all the things that God had done. And when they came to this, it was just one more way for God to demonstrate his power and authority. So how many of you have ever prepared for something? How many of you ever prepared for vacation? You got kids? You get all your kids and you pack all the suitcases and you get everything done and you start this a couple of days early because you know your kids are going to forget something. And so you go through all the suitcases, you make sure everybody's got everything, and you go out the first morning, you got to catch a flight, but you're early, so you got plenty of time. You go out in the morning and you put the key in and it goes, but you're early, you're prepared. So you go inside, you get your jumper cables, you start the car up, everybody's loaded up, you go to pull out of the subdivision, and there's fire trucks and ambulances, somebody's house is on fire, so you can't go out that way, so you got to backtrack, you got to go out a different way, and get to that road, and there's an accident, and you got to go out another way. Long story short, by the time you get to the airport, your flight's left. You did everything right. You did everything in your power to prepare. What do you do? Somebody said earlier, you book another flight. You see, if your plan aligns with God's plan, you'll make your destination. If your plan aligns with God's plan, you'll make your destination. You might be delayed, but you'll make the destination. You got to stay focused in a negative world. All right, so anybody know who Al Bundy is? Here's an Al Bundy moment. I loved baseball. I sat on the bench probably the first 5 years because I couldn't hit anything. When I got into middle school, I had a coach, a teacher that took me under his wing. I don't know why, but taught me how to be a man, started working on houses, replacing roofs, building decks. Well, he was also the wrestling coach. And he must have been hard up because I had never wrestled before. This was ninth grade. I had never even thought about wrestling. Two guys rolling around on a mat just doesn't interest me, sorry. But was not in my vocabulary. And he just kept on, hey, you'd really be good at it. You really need to come out. I think he was just hard up because people didn't want to wrestle. But eventually he broke me down, and I decided to go out for wrestling. And we had one of those years where it just seemed like we had the right people at the right time. We went undefeated in football, we went undefeated in wrestling, we went undefeated in track, our girls went undefeated in basketball and volleyball. We just had a great year that year. I'd never wrestled. And he's like, you need to come out for the team, you just got the right build, whatever. Yeah, no, not anymore. So I went out and wrestled. And it was actually pretty good. Not what I wanted to do, the only year I did it. But he had a way of speaking truth and speaking encouragement into your life. You ever have somebody like that? You know, kind of always said, "You can. There's more in you. You can do more. You can do more. You can do more. You got this. You can do more." And so we literally, as a team, we went undefeated for 10 matches. We had 10 different matches. And I had gone, I'd never wrestled before. He never told me who I was up against, never spoke about the opponent. He just always said, "You got this. You can win. You can win. You got this." And I used moves. I don't even know what they were. I broke my thumb in one move, a bear hug. I don't even know what that was. Bear hugged a guy, threw him on the ground, broke my thumb, pinned him in like 7 seconds. It's just weird, right? So there's a tournament prior to the state championship. And so we get to that point. I know you don't look like a wrestler. I know. I didn't look like this back then. We get to that point, and I get there. One of my teammates goes, "Hey, your first draw is a state champion." Now, they didn't know this, but I was a very negative person, negative until 40, very negative. And all I could hear was, "You ain't got a chance. You're going against state champion. You've never wrestled before in your life." Now, I've been undefeated all year long. My coach is telling me, "You got this." He never did tell me who the guy was. "You got this. You can win this." But in the back of my head, all I could hear was, "You can't win this. You can't win this. You can't win this. You don't have a chance. There's nothing you can do. You can't win this." I went all 3 rounds with the state champ. You know who won? Not me. You want to know why? Because of a negative thought. Somebody told me, "You can't do it." And that was more powerful than what I knew to be true. Now, how many times do we make choices in our life because of a negative influence in our life and we disregard what we know to be true? I will never forget that match. The whole time I wrestled that guy, the entire time, I wrestled as if I was going to lose. How many watched the Liberty University game, the bowl game here recently? They get down. The game is tied. They get down. It's like the 5-yard line. And they're satisfied. I was screaming. I don't even have a dog in this fight. I'm screaming at them because I remember when we wrestled, we had a coach that came to our coach and said, "Hey, take it easy on us." You know the worst thing you can ever tell somebody that's fighting a battle is take it easy. You either fight to win or you don't fight at all. They get down to the 5-yard line and they're satisfied with going to overtime. If you didn't watch the game, they fumbled the ball because they were just satisfied going to overtime. I'm telling you, you either fight to win or you'll lose every time. Trust me, don't let the negativity come in there. Positivity spreads one person at a time. One person at a time. I posted a thing earlier this week and I said, "Hey, help me out here." Nobody knew why I was doing this. "Help me out here. Tell me what good happened in 2020. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If I would have reversed that and asked this question, "Tell me what negative happened in 2020, how many responses do you think I'd get? A lot more than I did. I got 72 responses from people, and I'm not picking on people. It's just in our nature. We're in a negative world, and we think about what didn't happen quicker than we think about what did happen. But here is, we had 72 people respond, and the number one thing that people said in some way, shape, or form was their family time increased, became more valuable, became much more meaningful. I had several that said they graduated high school in a negative world. Had several that said they had successful career moves, did things this year they thought they would never be able to accomplish. In fact, my niece just bought her first house. You don't know my niece's story, but I'm telling you, for her, that is an amazing feat. She is in her 30s, and she owns a house. That is great for anybody, but for her, it is an amazing feat. I am so proud of her. pursuing what really matters. New babies born. I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch about to be born in 2021. Weddings. People kept working. They were healthy. Promotions. New and closer friendships. There were some near-death experiences, but now they're experiencing life like they've never experienced before. Sobriety. Baptisms. New homes. Sharing life with others. People said they found essential, and we're so thankful that you did. A renewed mind, someone said. They have a whole new way to think. One of the most precious ones was a high school, or actually a grade school buddy of mine. He lost his dad in February. And this is what he said. And he was apologizing because he thought he was putting something negative on the page. But he was putting one of the most positive things that I think anybody could ever experience. Because even in the negatives of this world, there can be positives from it. He said, "My dad died in February. Had he died in March, we would not have been able to bury him." He said, "God was so good to us that he allowed us to honor my father like he deserved to be honored." Now, let me just tell you, that's a guy that's looking for what God is doing, not what he's not. And I responded back to him and I said, "Hey, man, I just want you to know that's one of the most precious stories I've heard. It's your story. And it's a great story." You see, it's our focus on where we're going. Positive news spreads one person at a time. 15 years ago, I decided to change my life. I've talked about it before, but I began to just simply get up every day and say, "You know what? Today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day." And I still get up to this day and say, "Today's going to be a good day." Because I was one of the most negative people that I know, outside of one. I was one of the most, horrible thought process. But I began to pull people alongside of me and say, "Hey, you need to hold me accountable. I need to change. I need to make differences in my life. I need to look at what God is doing and not what he's not doing. I need to look at what you're doing and not what you're not doing. I need to change the way I perceive life, and it has changed my life. God was using me before. Why, how, I have no clue. I want to talk to him about that, but he was using me. But the way he's using me today is beyond anything I could ever imagine. This last year, in a pandemic-stricken world, in a negative world, we have seen, Kelly and I have seen marriages been restored. We have seen people who are thriving in life now, not because of anything that we're doing, but because God has allowed us to be investors into their life. I want to put a plug in right now. If you're not in a small group, you need to be. I don't care where you're walking or what you're doing. You need to be in a small group because there are people doing exactly what you're doing right now, and the only way to get out of it is to walk together and see where God will take you. Man, there are very few Calebs in this world that they can do it on their own. Now, I think Caleb probably had a bigger influence on his family than what we give him credit for, and I think he probably, that was his community group, was his family. But we struggle. We live in a fallen world. We live in a negative world, and you need to get out of it. And the way you get out of it is living together in a community of people who believe and invest and just know, hey, you know what? We're all jacked up. There ain't none of us that ain't jacked up, me included. And I'll sit down, I'll tell you anything and everything that I've ever done. But I'll also tell you anything and everything God's ever shown me to do. Because God can change your life. Let me just give you one example from this last week. I know I'm going to run a little bit long. You need to understand who I have an anger issue. You think Moses was angry? Just read his life. I will run rivalry with him. Kids and disrespect is probably my biggest pet peeve. How many know kids just have accidents from time to time? How many were raised that there is no accident, you always did it on purpose? All right, so you need to understand my mindset. So we're sitting at the table in the morning, and Fafa had finished. She had brought her plate up. Yeah, how many got kids that sometimes just want you to feed them? Even though they know how to feed themselves, they just want that attention. So both all of our granddaughters at some point will do this. Fafa had come up. Kelly had let her, helped her finish eating. And she was standing there. She started telling a story. How many know kids talk with their hands? How many know people, adults talk with their hands, right? So she's telling a story, and Kelly noticed that Macy was still sitting at the table beyond us, and she hadn't finished her food yet. So she said, "Hey, come on up here. I'll help you." So as she's walking up with her plate, and it's got syrup and bacon and cereal and I don't know what else, maybe some fruit on there. She's walking up, and she hadn't hardly ate anything. Fafa is telling a story, and out of nowhere, Fafa whacks the plate, goes flying in the air, and drops on the ground. What do kids typically do when they do that? They're scared to death. Somebody going to yell at me? Somebody going to scream at me? Somebody, am I in trouble? In my old days, I'd have lost it. I just looked at Fafa and said, it's okay, you didn't mean to do that. And Macy, you know how a dog sometimes looks at you like, what the heck? Macy goes, I said, Macy, it's not your fault either. I said, it's no big deal, we'll just clean it up. Now I want you to know, for me to get to that point, I have to know that today's gonna be a good day. And that ain't no big deal. Because I wanna change what's in their DNA. Because they're gonna do what they see us do. This is what we're talking about here. Caleb knew there were giants in his life that needed to be slain, and before he would ever experience peace, that's what they had to be. As he says this, Joshua says back in Joshua 14, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, the giants, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. I just want to ask you this. What kind of giants are in your life right now that you need driven out? You see, they're not going to leave on their own. You got to make a choice today to drive them out. You see, Caleb made that choice 45 years ago, but he had to walk around in the desert because a bunch of stupid people. You see, sometimes the majority will rule, but your destination isn't going to change. It just might be delayed for a while. That's where Caleb was. Joshua chapter 14, the end of the chapter, it says, then the land had rest from war. In other words, peace prevailed when focus was present. You see, when the people realized that they needed to do what God had called them to do and they were focused on that, peace prevailed. If you want peace in your life, you need to focus on what God's calling you to do. Kill the giants in your life. Make choices today that will impact you for 45 years. Now, I started out with that little video, and I'm telling you, just go Google old people doing amazing things. I don't even remember how I got it, but there are some amazing stories out there. But sometimes God brings something into your midst without you even looking for it. And this next little video I want to show you, I want you to know, came out 2 days ago, I believe. And as soon as I saw it, I thought of this message because it aligns perfectly. The decisions you make today will impact you for days to come, maybe even 45 years. Watch this.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Well, New Year is coming. It's been a tough year, full of grief and sadness for many, many, many people. But 45 years ago today, I had a wake-up call. I was heading for disaster. I was drinking myself to death. I'm not preachy, but I got a message. Little thought that said, do you want to live or die? And I said, I want to live. And suddenly the relief came and my life has been amazing. And I have my off days and sometimes little bits of doubt and all that. But all in all, I say, hang in there. Today is the tomorrow you were so worried about yesterday. You young people, don't give up. Just keep in there. Just keep fighting. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And that sustained me through my life. And that's all I've got to say. And Happy New Year. This is going to be the best year. Thank you.
45 years ago, I had a wake-up call. Do I want to live or die? For me, it was 15 years ago. I had a wake-up call. Do I want to continue down the path that I'm on and destroy my family? Destroy my grandkids before they ever get here? Or am I going to take responsibility for my actions and change the way I think? You see, today you got a choice to make. You might think it's a small choice, but every little choice leads to a bigger choice. You see, Caleb got up and saw God moving when he defeated the giants in Egypt. Caleb got up every day and saw God in the pillar of cloud. Caleb went to bed every night and saw the pillar of fire. Caleb saw God part the Red Sea and drown the Egyptian army. You see, Caleb experienced life on a daily basis, and when it came time for the big decision of his life, He said, I will take the hill country. And he never lost sight of that destination. So what choice is God asking you to make today? Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you that you do call us to make decisions based on our experience with you, based on our faith and trust in you. You show us your glory every single day. And Father, may we experience that in such a way that it grows our faith. Even in the midst of the negative world that we live in, God, may we realize and concentrate on the power of your love and the grace of your Spirit and who you really are and called us to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.